1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to our broadcast today. We're so grateful that you've tuned in, and we have a very special broadcast today scheduled for you. And we have in studio with us today a very familiar voice on 1220 AM, The Word, Pastor Al Davis. He's with us, and he is the host of Late Night with Pastor Al on Sunday nights from 11 to 12. Right here on the station, and also on Fridays right after our broadcast at 1:30. And Pastor Al, welcome to the broadcast today.
Well, thanks, Brother John. It's good to be with you, and thanks for letting me come on in here during the time you're here. I've filled in for you a couple of times. It's been great. And usually we pass in passing in about 2 minutes for you to get out of the chair and me to get in the chair. So it's nice to be able to spend some time and also spend some time talking about our topic today, kind of combining our efforts here. So it's great to be with you.
Well, we're glad you're here. And we, selected today to talk about the situation with the gay games that, of course, officially begins, I believe, tomorrow and runs next week here in Cleveland and Akron area. And so we've got some topics and things that we're going to talk about today, but we are also joined by another guest, and Mr. Greg Quinlan, who is really on the national scene and really involved in many of the marriage amendments, and is the president of PFOX, which is Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays and Gays, and I know you're going to enjoy hearing from him today. And Greg, are you there with us today?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule and being with us today. And we're so grateful that you've done that. And we're really excited to have our listening audience hear from you and hear what God's doing through you. And really, it's a great testimony. So, Greg, why don't you start out by telling us a little bit about yourself and just what God's been doing in you and through you.
Well, again, I'm Greg Quinlan. I am with PFOX, Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays and Gays. We're a education and family support organization for families who have loved ones who identify as homosexual, and also to offer help to those who are struggling with their same-sex attraction, their identity, and helping them to find the truth about why they have the feelings they have and how to deal with those. I left the homosexual lifestyle in 1992 and have been out of it ever since. I was a gay activist for 10 years because of the AIDS epidemic. I'm a nurse, and I watched 100 of my friends and acquaintances die of AIDS before I quit counting. So the Lord, I was in Ohio working with Pro Family Network, and before that, Christian Coalition of Ohio, and then God sent me to New Jersey to be a missionary here in the Garden State. That's what I tell everyone. I'm a missionary to New Jersey.
Well, we need those all over every state in the union today.
Amen.
But we really appreciate the work you've done. Now, you worked very hard at helping us get the marriage amendment passed here in Ohio.
And, 2004, yes.
And certainly there's been some recent activity, I believe even this past Wednesday. I don't know if I assume you're familiar with that. They revisited the topic and they're going to usher an opinion. Have you been aware of that, what's going on? And I think there's four or five states that are really questioning whether they're
exactly
going to take this back off the books now.
Yeah, this is extremely troubling when the rule of law is circumvented by political passion. And that's exactly what's happening. What happened in California, what happened in the two cases before the U.S. Supreme Court on DOMA and the marriage amendment in California, where the vote of the people, the will of the people, since the foundation of civilization, marriage has been between one man and one woman. And now for political extremists to satisfy their own sexual lust, we are going to give them what they want. This is anarchy on a scale that we have not seen since the first century church. So this is extremely troubling what's going on here. The constitutions of the states are being overridden for political passion. and, frankly, to satisfy the sexual lust and identity of a very strong, very vocal, but a very tiny minority of the population. Even the Centers for Disease Control and the National Institutes of Health statistically say that the homosexual population, those who currently identify as gay, lesbian, transgender, or bisexual, is less than 3% of the population. Let's understand this. We are drinking the Kool-Aid of anarchy, and our children are paying the price. And that would take longer than an hour to go into the actual ramifications and the disaster that is happening to our own children and our grandchildren and future generations if we, as God's people, do not stand up and stop this. We have to stop this.
Yeah.
When you are a believer, it's not just what you do in the church, but you're to take Jesus with you everywhere. That means to the grocery store, to the workplace, to the family gatherings, and yes, folks, to the ballot box.
Yeah.
It's not about being a Democrat or a Republican. It's not about what your union tells you to do. It's not about the color of your skin or the tradition of your family. It's about voting biblical values, about standing for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you cast that ballot, you should vote. If you don't vote, you're just as guilty as anybody else.
Right.
What's going on here. But cast that ballot with as much information as you can about the candidate who is there. And we must be vocal. Do not be silent.
Yeah, that's certainly the need of the hour. One of the great things I think that we are in a great, large things that we're dealing with. Of course, we have the gay games up here in Cleveland starting tomorrow. And one of the biggest stories that has come out of the gay games is how churches, specifically the United Church of Christ denomination, has joined forces and really have taken this project. And that's not a surprise to anyone who is understanding of scriptural truth. But one of the biggest areas that were, I guess, those who are on the side of truth, on the side of what God says about one man and one woman, is we're fighting against our own, technically, of those that, of religious bodies that are endorsing this and making it acceptable, making people feel comfortable, where we should be making them feel uncomfortable.
And, yes, we should. And the United Church of Christ, by the way, if people knew this, it was a merger of the Evangelical Reformed Church, which was a German-based organization, which came out of the Reformation, and also the Congregational Church in America back in the 50s. And from that merger, because of a prophetess who on her deathbed said, God is still speaking, have become apostate. And my answer to the point that where she said, God is still speaking, of course he is, but he never contradicts himself.
That's right.
So the United Church of Christ has embraced homosexuality as a mode of compassion, saying that it's a gift from God. There is no biblical reference where that is the truth. None whatsoever. It's an absolute fraudulence. I always get this statement from many homosexuals, Jesus never said anything about homosexuality. That's what we need to do is look at what he did say.
Yeah.
First of all, the term homosexual is only about 120, 150 years old.
Right.
So it didn't exist then. They called it sodomy. Jesus didn't speak about rape or incest. Are we going to suggest that perfect God and sinless man in one body, the Savior of the world, said that rape and incest was okay? Of course not. It's completely antithetical to the entire message of the gospel from the Old to the New Testament. What he did say in Matthew 19, when he was, answering a question to the Pharisees, regarding the definition of marriage, Rabbi, is it lawful for a man to leave his wife for any and every reason? Which was ridiculous. Jesus knew they knew that he knew what the Bible said.
Yeah.
So he comes back and says, haven't you read, you evil, wicked people, that in the beginning the Creator made them male and female?
Yeah.
Stop right there. How did he make them male and female? It was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve and Eve and Edith, and saying that is not hate.
Yeah.
I'm trying to point out the facts here. Jesus Christ said that the Creator made them male and female. And a man shall leave his mother and father. Who is this man leaving? His mother and his father, not his daddy and daddy's roommate, not his two mommies, but his mother and his father, the man and the woman, the masculine and the feminine. By the way, how did this man come to be? Because mommy and daddy got together one night.
Yeah.
And that's how he came to be. It took a man and a woman to create him. And then the man shall cleave to his wife. Who's he cleaving to? Not his boyfriend, not his lover, but to his wife, to the woman, the masculine to the feminine. And therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Right there, Jesus Christ defined marriage, family, human sexuality. And it doesn't include homosexuality. Why? Because homosexuality is not a part of the definition. And he's also quoting three scriptures in Genesis. And he can do that with the utmost authority because he was there.
Amen. And that is so true. And, you know, one of the big arguments today, I watched an interview that you went through, and I say went through because, boy, that guy went after you pretty good. But it was interesting to note, most people are taking heat because as soon as you start talking about the unnaturalness, you know, I often say that the Bible says it's the only sin that the Bible really describes going beyond the natural use of the human body. And so, you know, I've heard of preachers in England being arrested because they're talking about the unnatural part. How do you deal with that as you come across people and you deal with them? How do you answer that?
Oh, there's so many ways to go with that. First of all, you know, you hear Rosie O'Donnell, who is the epitome. She's a textbook of how someone goes into the homosexual lifestyle. At 10 years old, her mother dies of breast cancer. So okay. She is at this very crucial part in their development. And many of the men and the women that I deal with have had some sort of assault to their emotions, to their personality, very early on in age. I was sexually early sexualized when I was 9 years old and 10 years old. And that's what the enemy is doing in our hyper-sexualized culture. But one of the things that we need to understand when we deal with this is not being natural. First of all, she always comes up with these things, Rosie O'Donnell, that, well, you know, homosexuality exists in the animal kingdom. Every animal does that. No. Dogs licking and sniffing each other or humping each other has nothing to do. It's not copulation. It's not sexualization, but socialization.
Yeah.
It's all about dominance. It has nothing to do with the act of sex. This is absolutely false when they say that. This is nothing more than propaganda being played on people who don't even know how to make the argument. And they're very good at it. These are Madison Avenue arguments. These are marketing arguments that are made to, so, and the church is not equipped to answer back. And when the church does that, we sound hateful. Unfortunately, we do, and sometimes sound angry about it.
Yeah.
The other point is, many of us know what the scripture says about homosexuality, but let's look at this. The science supports our position. The American Psychiatric Association says this: there are no replicated scientific studies supporting any specific biologic etiology of homosexuality. What does that mean? There's not a shred of scientific evidence to date that supports anyone being a homosexual by biology.
Yeah.
There is no gay gene. Dr. Francis Collins of the Human Genome Project, National Institutes of Health, by the way, a Democrat, appointed by Bill Clinton to do the National Genome Project. At the end of the Genome Project, they found less than 30,000 human genes, and he concluded and said, quote, homosexuality is not hardwired, end quote. There is no gene supporting homosexuality.
Yeah.
None. By the way, this very same man has been appointed by Barack Obama as head of the National Institutes of Health.
Wow.
So in other words, we're not talking about a Republican evangelical Bible thumper here.
Yeah.
We're talking about a scientist, world-renowned geneticist, who with a team of people have made this conclusion. Now, there's a lot of theories out there and a lot of rhetoric out there, and they're clever about it. Like I said, they're Madison Avenue types that can turn a phrase, just like Satan did in the garden.
Sure.
They can turn a phrase and manipulate the word, but the fact remains, besides their wishful thinking, their desperate theories, there is no biology supporting homosexuality as innate. You aren't born that way. But I will say this, people do have a temperament. And God is we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He knit us together in our mother's womb. In Proverbs, it says, train up a child in the ways they should go or they're bent. We all have personality giftings and traits that God has gifted to us to use to his glory. And so in our culture, we take someone who is artistic or I never had any desire to work on a car. It was besides that, my father was a very angry man, and it was dangerous to be around him when he was working on a car.
Yeah.
The point is that we label people by meanings of their giftings, not understanding what we're doing, and kids and adults, well, you know, he's not athletic, so he must be gay, or she's a tomboy, so she must be a lesbian. We in the church do that, and we need to be mindful of people's giftings, but that is not your sexual orientation. That is your temperament.
Hey, Greg, it's Pastor Al Davis, and welcome to the program as well.
Thank you.
I want to chime in, too, on the gay gene or the myth thereof. There's been some studies, you might have seen some of them also, that have studied identical twins.
Yeah.
And what a lot of people don't realize, identical twins, you basically share the same DNA. And they've shown in these studies that where one twin is a homosexual, the other one isn't necessarily. In fact, in most cases, isn't. And if it was genetic, both twins should be homosexual.
Absolutely true.
And so they're trying to. Oh, I was going to say they're trying to get around that now by throwing in a topic called epigenetics, which a lot of people haven't heard of, but that's basically they're saying other things influence the development of an individual beyond your DNA that affect the expression of your DNA. And there's some biological basis to epigenetics, but they're trying to skirt around, like you said, to twist things around to try and get around the fact that science says there's no gay gene.
They manipulate the data with their rhetoric to make it sound as if, look, here's the biological cause.
Right.
There was Simon LeVay did a study on the brain, and you'll notice, too, that the press, that the very objective, you know, just reporting the facts press nonsense, the very opinionated, manipulative press takes a small finding, and like when Time Magazine did Simon LeVay's study on the brain, which was the size of some nodules on the pineal gland, which is behind the pituitary gland,
right.
And said that the size of those nodules determined a person's sexuality. He did that on cadavers, 36 cadavers. First of all, that sampling is impossible to draw any conclusion from.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, we didn't even know, some of those cadavers, by the way, were indigent. We don't know if they were homosexual or if they had HIV infection. We don't know anything about these people, but he drew these conclusions because he's desperate as a gay man to justify his lifestyle.
Oh, absolutely. I was going to add to that.
That's the nature of human beings.
Yeah. People's behavior and the way you act, the way you conduct yourself, will have physiological effects. And just to put it in a very, very easy to see, some way that anybody would understand, somebody who exercises will have bigger muscles than somebody who doesn't. And, if you have a musical ability and you learn to play the piano and you practice, you will develop better motor skills and ability to play and things of that nature. And there have been studies that have shown, at least in various animals, that behavior can actually cause physiological changes in the development.
In your brain.
Exactly.
My background in medicine is as a nurse,
and
now with 20 years of counseling people as a minister, talking to individuals about they come to me for these very reasons, and parents and family, we do brain mapping now, PET scans, MRIs, and we're able, and the study and the science is amazing. Our behavior, our activity rewires our brain.
Exactly.
It's not because we're born with this behavior. We can develop behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
We may be born with our temperament and our talents and our giftings from the Lord, but we can. It's what we do with those that determines how we behave. For example, this is a simplistic example. When I first became a missionary in New Jersey, and where our office was located was in one place. Then a couple of years later, we moved, and I had to find a new way to get to work, and it was even a longer way. And I remember several months after driving to the new office, the new location, at one point, I was a certain place down the road, and I thought, did I go through Chester? Did I run the red light? Did I, what happened was, is that I rewired my brain to now that going to work was automatic. This new direction I took, I had rewired my brain and I was on autopilot. And, you know, still able, I didn't run the red light, but, you know, the point is that I knew and realized down the road, like, I don't even remember going through Chester because I obviously, my mind was on something else or I was listening to a great radio show like this one and I wasn't paying that much attention to the surroundings around me. So we rewire our brain. People who are musically inclined will rewire their brain and activate certain areas of our brain that help us to develop that talent and that skill. So it's very true. Science supports the biblical point. Let's go to Romans. The renewing of your mind.
Right.
Yeah. Corinthians, take every thought captive and do what? Bring it to the obedience of Christ. How do you do that? We renew our mind. We control what we think, what we say, and what we put into our mind. When we follow Jesus Christ and we're diligent in our discipleship toward him, in seeking him, our minds, our brains do change because we submit to the authority of our Creator. And well, when you don't, things do not work out well. You become anti-Creator. And this is why we have the confusion and the anarchy that we are experiencing now. But the problem is, church, the church hasn't been the church.
Amen.
In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, runs to and fro like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The church. Now, when I say the church, I'm not some Catholic friends of mine think I'm talking about them. No, the church are the believers, the followers of Jesus Christ, regardless of what building they worship under.
Right.
And it says, be sober. We have not been sober. We've been drunk with complacency.
Well, and absolutely.
We haven't been vigilant. We've been asleep at the wheel. And when you're drunk and asleep at the wheel, you drive the car in the ditch. We are a nation in the ditch because the church has not been the church.
Well, I'm so glad to hear you say that because we were talking about that here just before the show. You know, the Bible says the house judgment begins at the house of God.
Amen.
And that's why America is where it's at. And that's why we're in the mess we're in, because of the church. Greg, can you stay with us for the next half hour?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
We're coming up against a break here in just in a couple of minutes. You're listening to For the Cause of Christ radio broadcast. We have Pastor Al Davis with us today, and I hope that you'll stick around for the next half hour as we're going to take time during Pastor Al's show to interview and talk with our guest, Greg Quinlan, and I hope that you will stay with us. Now, during the next half hour, if you have any questions, we're going to ask, you can actually call in. The toll-free number is 888-677-9673. Again, that's 888-677-9673. And you can give us a call there if you have a question for Pastor Al, for myself, or for Greg. And so we ask that you hang on and stick with us for the next half hour. And we'll be back with you in here just a little bit.
Have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. Or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or